You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
My pastor, good morning and welcome to the Mid-Morning Empowerment.
Thank you so very much. Good morning to our listener.
Amen. We're so grateful that you're able to join us. I hope you've had a good week.
Definitely. The Lord has been with us and we thank him.
Amen. Amen. So, Pastor, we were talking about building strong marriages. And I was just saying to the listeners that marriage seems to have gotten terrible PR over the last few years, maybe the last decade or so. I don't know if it was longer than that. But marriage has gotten a terrible, terrible rap. And a lot of people are running away from it because it seems to be this terrible thing. So we want to talk about how to build strong marriages, knowing that there are two foundational principles that can transform relationships. That's love and respect. Whether it's navigating conflict or celebrating milestones or simply enjoying daily life together, we know that these principles can guide couples to grow closer to each other and, more importantly, to grow closer to God. So with that in mind, what does the Bible actually teach us, Pastor, about the importance of love and respect in marriage?
Thank you so very much. When we read from Ephesians chapter 5, the Bible is very clear in verse 22 that wives, submit to your own husband. Mm-hmm. And then in verse 33 of the same Ephesians 5, verse 33, it says, you must show your husband respect. Mm. So this is something that we find in the Bible. So it's the Bible literally that is giving us that. And then on the part of the man, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25, he says, husbands, love your wife. Mm. As Christ loved the church,
yeah,
who gave himself for it. So now, this is very, very interesting here. It is telling us that a husband should love the wife. Mm-hmm. But this love is not just any other love. This is the love that is the Calvary love. This is the love as Christ loved. Yes, you know. So this tells you that the Bible is very clear that for the husband, love should be the number one thing. And for the wife, respect should be the number one thing. Mm. And let me share with you this very quickly. That you know what? This is so because God who created us knows that actually the emotional need for a man is respect. The emotional need for a woman is actually love and affection.
Beautiful. But I've always wondered, Pastor, because I've heard that before. I've wondered, does that mean that men don't care about receiving love? Does it mean women don't care about being respected? Is it that cut and dry? Is it that, you know, divided that for women, it's strictly love, even if it comes with no respect? For men, it's strictly respect, even if there's no affection or love.
What is there is this. Mm-hmm. When you are unfaithful to your wife. Mm. It's because you don't love her.
Okay.
But guess what? The summary of it all is all because you have lost respect for her. Mm. If you respect her, then you express that respect in loving her. Mm. Then when you look at the man, you realize that to the man, a woman who respects him, that is a woman who loves him. Mm. A woman who does not respect him, to the man, that woman does not love him. So this tells you that actually this it does not mean that the woman cannot be, respected, does not mean the man cannot be loved. Mm, no. Mm. It's just the expressions of them all.
Okay.
But what we are trying to look at is what the Bible says.
Right.
The Bible talks of these two. And believe me, you, when we look at these two, are the things that matter a lot to the other person.
Beautiful, beautiful. I love that. So if I'm understanding you correctly, those two essentially can't necessarily be separated. They are an expression of each other, in a way, if I'm understanding what you're saying, that your the way that a wife expresses her love to her husband is through respect, and the way that a husband would reflect respect towards his wife would be through the love and the affection that he gives to her.
Yes, that's correct.
That makes sense. That makes sense. Now, how can couples cultivate a culture of mutual respect in their daily interactions? How do we do that? Especially, I would say, especially in those situations where the love has grown cold, the respect has grown cold, and there's been some division for whatever reason. Maybe there's been a long period of not being intentional about growing the relationship. Maybe there's been some kind of betrayal. Maybe something has happened or nothing has happened for such a long time, and they've just gotten into this lull. How does a couple then cultivate a culture of mutual respect in their every single day interactions?
Thank you. Number one, what is needed is knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
So they need to source for knowledge on how this can happen. Then number two, they need to get to know where they came from. Where are they coming from?
Mm-hmm.
Where are they coming from? What was it that made their flame of love to be so good? What made them to be inseparable sweethearts? What attracted them to each other? What is it when they were starting that made them to say, we can't stay apart, we just have to marry and be together?
Yeah.
So they need to get to that place where they get to know now, what are these things? You know, they need to go to that place. And then you realize that once they go there, they will now start looking at, okay, what is it that I appreciate in you, my spouse?
Mm.
What is it that I appreciate in you, my spouse? And then they go through all those things.
Yeah.
And once they go through all those things, then they will realize that actually the things that have brought some kind of division, or the sources of conflict, they are actually so minor compared to the things that are actually that can bring them together. They'll now realize that actually where they are, their issues are not even so much complicated. It was just misunderstanding. It was just the way this one perceived this one was saying this, or was doing this, or was communicating this.
Yeah.
So it was just out of perceptions. And then they'll realize that actually all that we lacked was that we left out certain things we were supposed to be intentional with. We were supposed to be deliberate with. We were supposed to prioritize this. And then instead of prioritizing this, we entertained distractors. We entertained parasites that drained our time, that drained our, you know, this focus on each other.
Sure.
So once they do that evaluation, it will be easier for them to now come together and enjoy each other one more time. And also, we could recommend, if it is possible, they can also seek help. Yes, if it is possible, they can also seek help. And this is help not necessarily from advisors, not people who just give advice, but especially from counselors. Yes, there's a difference between advisors and counselors. Advisors, they'll quote the entire Bible and they tell you and judge you and so on. But the counselor will ask you a lot of questions and then will help you to actually appreciate that the solutions are within the two of you, and you can come together and enjoy your marriage very, very well. The other last one I could mention is that the issue of prayer should not be ignored.
Yes.
You need to pray together. You need to pray for each other.
Mm-hmm.
You need to pray in the hearing of the other.
Beautiful. When you say pray in the hearing of the other, I'm thinking about a situation where a spouse will be praying loudly so that the other one can hear, "Lord, help my spouse to become better, help them to be more responsible." And then you start listing all your grievances against the person as you're praying for them.
Maybe I could even say it in another way. One of the things that work out in marriage is when you look at your spouse and you don't see your spouse as a problem, and you don't see your spouse as your enemy, but you look at your spouse and see your spouse that is a person probably who has a problem, but not that he's a problem or she's a problem.
Yeah.
Number two, you look at your spouse knowing your spouse is not your enemy. So your spouse and yourself, you're on one side. And then your opponent is now the devil, who is your enemy, who is the enemy of your marriage. But your spouse and you're on one side. So when you come to that, when you are praying now aloud in his hearing, in a hearing, you don't pray, oh God,
yes,
oh the man, you just gave me the remains of a man. You just gave me an excuse of a man. No, that's not your prayer. Your prayer now in his hearing would be, what is it that you desire him to become? What is it that you see in him that he is not yet? And so you're able to pray, God, I thank you for my husband. There is no man like him. He is a man among men. He is the king of this family.
Yes.
He is the man who has blessed me. Today I'm happy because you blessed me with this man. Lord, I thank you for giving me this man as my husband. You know, there is no one I can choose again. He is the one. Oh, Lord, continue to bless him with wisdom, with love and everything, and strength and leadership. Oh, God, I thank you for my man. So that should be the prayer where your spouse is hearing.
I love that. And I think as you're saying that, I'm thinking that as you're doing that is probably also, it also inspires those feelings also in you to return. If, like I said, if we're talking about a couple that has gone through some rough times and maybe you're not necessarily feeling that kind of affection, I think as you're praying like that and you're speaking to God and you're speaking life into your marriage to God himself, that you start to feel those, you start to behave in a way that, you know, that he is indeed the king of this family, or this woman really is the queen of this family. The affection is then heightened by the Holy Spirit. So I really love that. I love that. Now, you were just talking about prayer. Let's focus a little bit more on prayer. What role does prayer play in strengthening the bond between spouses? I like that you talked about praying together, and you also talked about praying alone, but in the hearing of your partner. But what else does prayer do in strengthening the bond between spouses, especially praying together?
What prayer does is that it helps the person who is praying. What prayer does, it changes the person who is praying. What prayer does, it helps you to know that the issues of your marriage, the weapons cannot be getting of sticks or getting of this and that. Then you realize that the rightful weapons for you to win in your marriage is, they are not carnal, they are not physical, they are actually spiritual. They have to do with God who blessed you with this marriage.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is what prayer does. It helps you who is praying to know that God is in charge. So because you know that God is in charge, you will not give yourself a role that God has not given you. You will not try to control anyone. You will not try to be in charge over things that are beyond you. You now know that it is Jehovah and Jehovah alone who is in charge. So that's what prayer does. So prayer just helps you to know your dependence upon God to take charge of your marriage is the best thing that you can do. Because that way, it will take away your anxiety, it will take away your fears, and at the same time, it will take away your anger. And once it takes away your anger and everything else, guess what? Even when the storm was so rough, I tell you, when you start singing, it is well with my soul, because of your prayerful life, then you realize that all that will come down.
Amen.
It's so interesting in human life that when somebody is trying to provoke the other, and that person is quiet and so on, the one provoking will actually lose the passion to provoke. The energy will not be there anymore. And so the other way will be just to now calm down and everything is okay. So because the Bible declares that we who are children of God must have the fruit of the Spirit.
Amen.
And the fruit of the Spirit, which is love, patience, kindness, joy, long-suffering, and all those, you realize they come as, the product of a prayerful life.
Mm.
So being prayerful in marriage is something that is good. The other thing that prayer does, it helps you to have a grateful heart.
Okay.
Yes, to have a grateful heart. And once you have a grateful heart, it will help you in how you perceive things, how you interpret things, and how you respond to issues that come your way in marriage.
Mm. Lovely, lovely. Now, there are challenges that we can't avoid in any relationship, and definitely in a marriage relationship, you can't avoid that. So how do couples navigate challenges without losing sight of their commitment to one another?
One way they should, work on challenges that come is to know that, number one, don't create a door in your marriage. Don't create a door in your marriage. So you just have to now appreciate that we are in here and there is no way out.
Mm. What do I mean by that? Almost sounds like a prison.
What do I mean by that?
Uh-huh.
What I mean by that is that if you are in the house,
yeah,
and there is no door, and fire breaks out, you will not leave that house and leave your beloved one burning behind.
Yeah.
You will now know that here, since I'm not leaving, and we better work together to put off this fire. Because she's not the only one who burn. I will burn as well.
There's no
in
way
here.
Out.
So because, and there's no way out. So we have no choice, but we need to work together. We need to work together. There must be synergy here. We work together, in one accord to be able to put off this fire. And that's how now you have to work together to put off that fire. Maybe I should say it in another way. Don't leave your partner, especially in fire. Don't leave your partner, especially at their weakest point. Don't. So, which means you need to know we are in this together.
Yeah.
And you are able to work out things together. That means in any conflict, no one should come out, I'm the holy one, you are the bad one. No. So we should work out everything together. You made a very beautiful observation to say, does that not sound like a prison? The answer is, actually, that is your choice now.
Okay.
Do we turn this marriage into a prison, or do we turn this marriage into paradise? And the people that should be able to spread that bed, that should not have thorns, is the two of you. It's not outsiders. It's not anyone else elsewhere. No,
yeah.
It's the two of you. So you're the ones who are saying, we want to create this place into a paradise. So come on, my friend. Let's do the landscaping. Come on, my friend. Let's beautify this place. Come on, my friend.
All right. Because
this is for life. Yes, this is for life. And you know what? This is where I always advise people and counsel them when they are preparing. You're spending too much time preparing for the wedding. Yet the wedding is just an hour and a half. Why don't you spend more time and more resources preparing for your marriage? Because you're going to be in it for a long time. So that's basically what means when conflicts come, you work out those conflicts together and resolve those conflicts together. Number two, when a conflict comes or an issue comes, don't be a museum or a library that is keeping old books. No, no. Let the records of the old things remain. Yes. Bring that issue which has happened now, and only that issue, and resolve that issue now. That is the best way to resolve these conflicts that come.
Yeah.
When you take each conflict one day at a time. The other thing that should be known is that he who cannot forgive should not marry.
Hey.
So you have to know that one of your qualifications for marriage is the maturity to forgive.
Mm.
After all, God has forgiven you. That's why you're called a born-again person, because Christ has forgiven you. So why don't you forgive your friend? And two, if your friend has made a mistake tomorrow, don't you think one day to be you who make a mistake?
Exactly.
So you ought to learn to forgive. It's very important to forgive. And once you forgive, it shall be well. And also, why are you so sweet with people who are strangers, with customers, with others that you meet up there, clients? You're so kind with them. They can step on your toes and you say, no, it's okay. And you really mean it. But how come you can't tolerate it with your spouse?
Mm.
And you see, what we need to appreciate, branches of a tree that are close to each other, whenever there is even light wind that comes, they'll always have friction. So we need to appreciate that. But because you are together, there'll always be that. You need to learn to forgive.
Sure.
Here's another counsel that we would give to people who are in marriage.
Mm-hmm.
For anything that comes in your life, when you see a slight change, don't wait until things are bad.
Mm-hmm.
Can you handle that issue when it starts?
Okay.
For example, my spouse comes home at 6 p.m. every day.
Mm-hmm.
But then on this day one, comes home at 8. And then day two comes home at 8. Day three comes home at 9. I should not wait until he comes home at 01.
Mm-hmm.
Immediately, I should be able to say, what is happening?
Right.
Uh-huh. All these years you have been coming at 6 p.m. What is happening now? So all I'm saying is that don't wait until things are so bad. No, because you are in it together and you want this marriage and relationship to succeed.
Mm.
Thank
Beautiful.
You.
Powerful, powerful, powerful points that you've made there. I love that emphasis that it doesn't have to be a prison. It will only be a prison if it's all just about there's no door and we're stuck here together. But if you're saying, yes, there's no door, but we can make it beautiful together. Now, we must make this a beautiful union that we are, quote unquote, stuck in for life. But it's up to us to decide whether it's going to be prison or paradise. I love that point. And all the points, in fact, that you've made are very, very practical. As we're wrapping up now, we've run out of time, but what are some practical ways? I think it's important for us to cover that. Practical ways to express love and respect in meaningful everyday gestures.
Well, the practical ways are, one, you need to just be faithful to each other.
Mm-hmm.
Two, you need to have boundaries in your marriage, mm-hmm. so you don't go beyond your boundaries, you don't go outside your boundaries, so you maintain your boundaries. And then you need to practice open a kind of communication where you are real with each other, you're frank with each other,
mm-hmm.
and then just be honest and sincere to one another. It will help you a lot. That's the expression of love and respect. The other way is to know that you need to not keep how you feel inside you.
Right.
If you feel this person has done something good, appreciate that person. Yes, appreciate that person. And it's very, very good and important to appreciate each other.
Mm.
And then the other thing that we need to do is to just know that we can actually have each day as our love day. Yeah, so we don't have to wait for a particular day in the year to express our love. Let's turn each day as a day of love. The other thing that I want to put across, another practical way, is that you should have your own, some kind of tradition as a couple.
Okay.
For example, I could say, you would say, every day at 9 p.m. to 9:15, PM, mm-hmm. this time is our sacred time. This is our sacred time. This is our time. So at that time, you can't make any phone call, you can't receive any phone call. Mm-hmm. At that time, you can't watch any television. At that time, you can't be on the phone or the laptop or iPad. At that time, it is just time when you are not just together, but you are actually investing in your marriage.
Mm.
And at that time is a time when, even when you're not in the same room, the other person will have a video call, because that is your sacred time.
Yeah.
You can't entertain anything come between the two of you, and you are investing in your relationship. So all that I'm trying to say is that to express your love and respect, there must be time for each other. You can't claim to be too busy for each other. There must be time for each other, because without time, without communication, your love will not grow strong. Yes, and that's why we need to express this love and respect for each other. The respect that is there is not by just saying, good morning, sir, good morning, ma'am. No, it should show in our action. It should show in our attitude. And that way you realize you will be happy and rejoicing in the Lord because of your love and respect for one another. And this is what Jehovah demands of us. He loves us and we love him. He respects us and we respect him even as we worship him.
Sure. Beautiful, beautiful. That was a beautiful conversation. Thank you so much, Pastor, for coming through. And I have so many more questions. Hopefully we'll be able to connect again in the future to continue the conversation. But thank you so much for what you've shared this morning. God bless you and have a wonderful Sabbath ahead.
Amen so very much. The God richly bless you too. Thank you for this time. Amen.
Amen.
You are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.